And the Gospel this morning is taken from John chapter 7, verses 14 to 24. Jesus teaches at the festival. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, or actually did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcised a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. This is the Gospel of the Lord."
As we stand, let's pray together. Lord, speak to us as we are in need of your correction, of your perspective, in need of changing. And Lord, show us ourselves and show us your purpose for our lives, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So, Bibles back in the pews. It's nice to have them back. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. There is a caricature that Christians are dull and anemic. That's not my experience. I look around the whole church congregation today, I know that's not the case with you. You're not anemic. You're all very different. And actually, if we were dull and anemic, the New Testament would be much thinner, because the New Testament is often dealing with issues about church life. And as I said at 8 o'clock, and Steve was here then, our pastoral work would be much easier if you were all dull and anemic. But you aren't. The New Testament shows us that Christians have varying opinions and very different personalities. The New Testament assumes there will at times be clashes and sparks will fly. Being a church is not automatic like breathing. Look at verse 1. "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant." What Paul is saying, I'm going to educate you and teach you so you're not ignorant. He wants them to be gifted and godly. In fact, the word spiritual gifts is appropriate, but in fact, the word gifts doesn't occur in original Greek, but that could well be the sense. Quite literally, is now about spirituals, about the spiritual things in life, about how we live together. This is what I want to tell you. I want to educate you and show you what you need to know. It's much more here about how we use what we have than about what we have is. The Corinthians, verse 2, were not short on religious experience, but not every religious experience is spiritual. So when they were pagans, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. It may have been significant for a while, but actually no ultimate reality to it. And they've been turned around by the gospel. Of course, in those days, what happened is you had to declare that the emperor was Lord. And of course, they would not do that if they were believing Christians. No one can say, with the Spirit of God, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I think probably there was a mix of people in some of the early Christian gatherings. And some might have, being unconverted, called out, Jesus be cursed. Whereas I would say, Jesus is Lord. And actually, that's what every Christian should say. Jesus is Lord. He is my supreme commander, if you like. A bus driver in Bristol 4 years ago went into his depot. On the roster, he was allocated a bus to drive. He went to the boss of a bus firm and said, I will not drive that bus. On the bus, there was that atheist slogan. There's probably no God, stop worrying and enjoy life. And he rightly, because he knew that Jesus' law was not going to drive a bus with that on, dishonours the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You know, some of us say about each other, I don't think they're my type of Christian. But actually, we're confronted here with who is God's type of Christian. Three quick points. First, we're not clones, but we're still united. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. We're not lookalikes. I'm not thinking of your face, but about your talents and gifts, the person God has made you. God loves variety and difference. What can you tell me about a snowstorm? Or about snow? Brilliant, thank you. All the snowflakes are different. That's how God has made them. Each snowflake is different. We're all different. Oddly enough, we can't produce snowflakes. All we can produce is ice cubes. And God has caused this difference. On the wall there are the old Norman arches from where, when the church was burnt down. And the north entrance is the old Norman entrance to the church, the original entrance. And if you go around the outside of the church, but not the tower, but if you go around the outside, the walls of this church are made of flints. And every flint is different. Every wall is different. No piece, no two pieces are the same. That's a picture of a church. We're diverse, but united. Well, think about an orchestra. Each instrument is different. We don't want everyone to be a piccolo or a drum or a violin. But actually, if you're somebody who's musical, and we're a bit short on people who can play at the moment, strings and brass, if you're a musician, have a word with Pete and Rosie. Say, look, I play this instrument, or I sing well. Don't be shy about coming forwards. Verse 4 to 6 is all about difference. And look how inclusive it is. Verse 4, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, but the same Lord. Verse 6, but the same God. Great variety. And we're told that God works all of them in all people. The Apostle Paul, in three ways, says the same thing. Think about a gift you've received. A gift is always undeserved. And the gifts you have, what is common about them is you didn't pay for them yourself. God gave them to you. Different gifts, different service, different workings. And yet, we too often divide each other up according to our gifts. I've heard some of you say to me, I should have corrected you, I can only help, I can only serve in this way. It's not only, it's serving. And we can all do that. Verse 6, the same God works all of them in all people. I guess in every fellowship, every church around the world, there's probably someone who is a bit left out. But actually, it shouldn't be like that. We're all to be part of the body of Christ together. And we too often are very selective when we speak about gifts. Look at the lists of gifts in the New Testament, and none of them are the same. None are exhaustive. So verses 28 to 30, later on in this chapter. And in the church, God's appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and others speaking different kinds of tongues. I love that picture there, but actually, administration is a gift. You may think it's not about spirit, but actually it's a God-given gift to use for the glory of God. And I'm really glad, I can say this because she's not here, our PCC secretary is brilliant, keeps us all organised so we do things properly, and a good reminder to us. The church wardens, quietly behind the scenes, get on with things, making sure that we are organised as we should be. I love that picture also of those who help others. Helping is a real gift, helping others. But back to verses 8 to 10, which are read for us. There's a message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues. Lots of different gifts, a great variety. And if you look at Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11, there's different gifts in each of those paragraphs in the Bible, but none of them are the same. They range from miraculous to the very important gifts of helping others and administration, verse 28. You are whatever a God worked in one is. That's the point of verse 1. If God's worked in you, you are what God has made. And yes, you're to use those gifts. You're not a one-man, one-woman band, but you're united. We're not clones, but we're still united. Second, this gifting, this service, is not for some, but for all. Verse 6. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, just as he gives them to each one, as he determines. That means in church life there should be no pride and no sulking, because it's to each one. And it's God who's given those gifts to us. I think it's likely there's at least one person in church today who's saying that they don't think they have anything to contribute. That's not the case. We all have something to contribute with the gifts and the people we are. And actually, to say that you've not got gifts you can use in the fellowship of this church is to insist on your own worthlessness and to refuse and ignore the word of God. In effect, call God a liar. What gift, service, where my energies are channeled, is not for me to pick and choose, but for God's Spirit to determine. Now, some have more public roles, but pondering this Bible reading has made me this last week think about how much goes on unsung and unnoticed. So the communion, laundry, somebody or several people pick that up. They laundry it and iron it and bring it back. I think about sometimes I come down here early in the morning to go to the office, and there's somebody who's not here this morning who has been clearing the ivy off a wall at the far end of a church, or weeding, or cutting. He comes about sort of 5:45 in the summer and works to about 8:15. Unsung, using his gift to produce a lovely churchyard. Or I think about the church cleaning. I do know who comes in to clean, but that's a great gift to keep this building fit for our gathering together. And then the sick. Yes, the clergy do visit the sick, but also as a fellowship, there's people who use that gift to encourage those who are sick. There's a rather horrible phrase nowadays being banded around, talking about the shut-ins, which I think means the housebound. But there are people here who do visit the housebound. Part of their calling is to serve the fellowship in that way. You will not know all that's going on in our church life, but there are people serving in all these very practical ways. And they are little but significant evidences that the Spirit of God is at work in our church family. Little but significant evidences. We're not clones, but united. And serving, gifting is not for some, but for all. Third and finally, and this is really important, it's not for my glory, but for the common good. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That word given, it's not something you've earned, it's given to you. And you should be saying to yourself, thank you, Lord, for making me and gifting me as you have. And Lord, how can I serve the common good? Things go wrong when we want recognition. I suspect, if I was to ask you, do you think that putting up tables and chairs is a gift God has given you? You probably wouldn't quickly put your hand up to that. But it actually has been done in our church centre. I was in the church centre one day. I was a bit shocked, actually, because somebody had forgotten to come and do a coffee and help somebody. And somebody said to the people doing coffee, oh, it's not my turn, I'm not on rota this week, and it's left for the church centre. But actually, in retrospect, that dear person should have said, oh, I can help, I'm here a bit early. Sometimes we need to just step up and serve, seeking how it will help the church. In our youth group restarting, we have a need for another woman to help with the teenagers. They're both teenage lads and girls in that group. And somebody stepped down after 7 years helping with that. And we need a woman who can help with that. Not because the men can't do it, because actually nowadays on safeguarding, we need somebody who's happy to help lead a Bible study, a discussion group. We have a mixed group or the single-sex group in that meeting. Have a word with Rich Deeves, if that might be you or with me, about it. Common good was what the Corinthians messed up, because they wanted to be in the limelight. And the common good is the mark of God's Spirit being at work. I wonder, have you considered, before you come to church, or perhaps as you come into church and pray quietly before the service, say, Lord, is there someone I can be a help to today? Someone I can encourage? One of my old college friends, who's vicar, once famously quipped to me, he said, of course, church life revolves around tiny gestures. And I think he got it right. That's what we should be doing. There's tiny gestures and big gestures sometimes as we serve the common good. the pandemic has in the United Kingdom caused a cry for community. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a particularly Christian thing. Church leaders have been noticing a focus where some who were regularly in church are, since the pandemic, saying, I want Christian community on my own terms and where my needs can be met. That goes totally against what Paul writes here. In contrast, Christians meet the needs of others. We're not clones, but we're still united. May God make us more like that as we, this coming year, try and get church back to normal after pandemic. So ponder this chapter, not clones, but still united. Service not for some, but for all. And not for my glory, but the common good. Amen.